In a recent How Do I video, I demonstrated building an ASP.NET page by implementing the incremental page fetch pattern using the ASP.NET 2.0 extensions for AJAX. In that demonstration, I used AJAX service methods to retrieve the content that was incrementally added to the page. In this variation, I'll implement the incremental page fetch pattern, but instead of using AJAX method calls, I'll use HTTP GET and HTTP POST functions. The possible advantage to using HTTP GET and POST methods is that you can fetch existing page-based content from your server. So you can fetch existing HTML files, ASBX files, ASCX files, etc. So to get started, as always, I'll fire up Visual Web Developer Express, create a new AJAX-enabled website. And the first thing I'm going to do is go ahead and grab a cascading style sheet file to include it in my project so that I can use the visual classes that are defined therein. What I grabbed there was this webrequest.js file, this JavaScript file. We'll get to that in a little bit. At this point, I'll just grab that CSS file, and then I need to drag the CSS file into my page to create a reference so I can use the classes. Now, the first thing I'm going to do is create some div sections that I can use to populate the content that we're going to grab through the get and post methods. Call this one result ID 0. Let's create two more of these. And I'm going to call them respectively result ID 1 and 2. And I'm going to apply CSS classes to 1 and 2 that will just add color distinctions. And what I'm going to use these for is result 1 will be an area of content that is dynamically and incrementally populated when the page loads. So that'll happen automatically. And then in div result ID 1 and result ID 2, I will append content that is fetched through HTTP GET or POST, but that is done based on the user clicking on the respective GET or POST buttons. Okay, so next thing that I need is an area for those get and post buttons. So I'm just going to add a small table. So just hop over into design mode. Insert a 2x2 table, and I know if I were a little less aesthetically challenged, I would be able to. I would be able to do this without using tables, but let's go put that table in the div that I really want it in, which is the top one. Or actually, I don't want it in any div at all. It's going to be just at the top of the page. There we go. And I'm just going to put a little delimiting header section here at the top of the page. All right, that's better. So here in my table section, we'll say make get request. Yeah, let's just say make post request. And then I'm going to add a couple of HTML buttons. And note these are HTML buttons and not ASP.NET server-side button controls. And then hop over here and we'll modify the parameters. So the first thing we're going to do is change the value in the button. We'll say make get request, and we're going to use get to fetch an HTML file. And we use the post request to get an ASPX file. Now, another thing that we want to do here is we're going to add JavaScript on-click event handlers in line here. So let's say on-click. And what we're going to do here is for the get request, we're going to call a JavaScript function that we've yet to define, web request. And as you've probably guessed, this is going to be contained in this webrequest.js file that I included from my desktop. But we'll go in there and we'll look at all the details and explain what that JavaScript function code does. So we're going to pass in a couple of parameters to our JavaScript function. The first is going to be what we want to retrieve. So we're going to use get to retrieve an HTML file that we'll call getTarget. And then we want to pass in the div where we want the results to be placed. And we'll call that result ID 1, which is the div that we specified right here. Next, similar on-click event handler for the post request that we're going to make. So that will be done by calling a JavaScript function called post web request, again, that is as yet undefined. Two arguments. The second one, again, being the div where we want the results to be placed. The first one being the page that we want to retrieve. So in this case, this will be, we'll call this post target dot ASPX. So we're going to fetch an ASPX page. Right? So to do that, we're going to need that HTML page and the let me fix the spelling here. There we go. So we're going to need these pages to retrieve. The first is, I'm just going to grab an existing HTML file. This is just static HTML, so this is what it looks like. Just got a little bit of content in there. And we're going to go ahead and just drag that into our project. Now, if you're going to use file-based resources and retrieve them via get or post, and it's non-dynamic content, it's probably a good idea to organize those HTML files in their own directory someplace, perhaps not even inside your application root, unless it's necessary for some reason. In our case, just for simplicity's sake, we're going to put them alongside the files in our solution, but you may not want to do that. Secondly, let's create a new ASPX page that will be our post target. So we'll call that post target.ASPX, and we have one little piece of code that we're going to use in code behind, so we'll go ahead and do that. We're going to want a page load event here, and we haven't implemented this this label yet, but basically what we're going to do is we're going to look for a HTTP form variable called message, and if there is one there, if it's not equal to nothing, then we're going to take that message and we're going to put it on the page. Now this is the content that's generated by the post target, which we're fetching from our default.aspx page, and we're going to fabricate this form variable in JavaScript. Right. So let's go back over here to our source code. And now remember, this is the post target. So this is the ASPX page that we're actually going to fetch when we're going to fetch when we call the get web request through our JavaScript function. So here, all we have to do is add just a little bit of standard ASP content. Remember, this is an ASP page, so it can be dynamic. And down here in the div, let's just add a small header section. Uh, Right, so just a little content there. Here we'll add an ASP.NET text box. And over here in our code behind, we call that label ID. So we'll do that here. Now we can go ahead and run this post target. So the thing to note here is that this is a true ASPX page, an ASP.NET page, so we can run it. Notice that there's no content that's displayed by default because we aren't calling this from JavaScript, and therefore that message form variable doesn't exist when this ASPX page is executed. Now, let's go ahead and look at our web request JavaScript file here. So the first thing you'll notice is that there's a page load event, and this page load event calls get web request, passes in get target HTM and the div that we want to place it in. And then we also call get post request, passing in the ASPX page we want to retrieve and the same div. Now, one of the things to note here is that as we'll see as we move forward, these calls are asynchronous. Very much modeled after the way that we've been calling service methods from our script manager based client-side code in some of the other How Do I videos that we've been working with that illustrate network calls. So here's our get web request method. Notice we're passing in the page we want to get and the HTML target where we want the results to go. And then we're basically getting the display element for the HTML target, which in our case is result ID 0. Then we're dimming up a sys.net.webRequest object, setting the URL to whatever it is we want to fetch. So in this case, it's going to be our getTarget.htm file. Setting up the HTTP verb that we want to use, which is get. Providing a user's context, which we're just using the text user's context. Then we're telling our web request object what JavaScript function we want to be called when the request completes. Right? So very, very similar to the way when we're making service method calls in JavaScript, we have to specify on complete, on error, on timeout JavaScript functions. In this case, we just specify a single JavaScript function to be called whenever our web request invoke method returns. Right. So, and then of course we just call web request, and remember that this is asynchronous. So, so we're calling this one first. When invoke fires, flow control will return back to whatever the next line of code is. So on page load, it will be the post web request, and then this JavaScript function will be called whenever invoke returns. Right. Similar to the in the post method, similar to how we're handling the get method, again, input the resource that we want. Input arguments are the resource that we want to retrieve and the HTML target. So in our case, the div ID 1 and div ID 2. So again, similar. We're setting up the display element, dimming up an instance of the web request object, specifying what the URL we want to retrieve is. In this instance, we're using the post verb instead of the get verb. Here's where we set up that form variable. So here we're saying there's a form variable called message, and in our case we're just going to put this text in it, JavaScript generated post parameter. Right? So remember back in our page, here's that where we're picking up that form variable. Right? So we're looking at the request collection and the form variables collection within it, and looking specifically for the message form variable, and then we're taking whatever the value is, converting it to a string, and applying it to the text property of that text box that we named label ID. Right. And just setting up the body so that this is the body of the page, so that the form variable will be propagated on the post request. Here we're adding any headers that we might want to, so in this case we're specifying what the length is. Then we're telling the web request object what JavaScript function we want to be executed when it completes asynchronously, and then we're calling the invoke function. Now notice in our case, whether we're calling using get or post, we're using the same JavaScript completed function, and it's here. So basically what we're saying is that if there's a response that's available, which means the request was successful. If that's not true, then we're just going to find out, did it time out or did it error? And we're going to take some action based on what type of problem was experienced. But if it was successful, so there's a response available, if we wanted to replace whatever content was in the display element, we could just start by setting it to an empty string. In our case, we're just going to append to whatever's there, so we're not going to necessarily do that. Then all we need to do is specify that we want to take the display element and populate the inner HTML element by plus equal adding whatever the response data is. And note how we're getting the response data here. So rather than an input parameter like we get when we're using service methods, here we're just going to call the get response data method of the executor object. This will actually work in Firefox, but this is here for backward compatibility. So this isn't, strictly speaking, probably isn't necessary because folks that are using Firefox are generally using the 2.0 version. But that's it. Now, in order to have access to these JavaScript functions, here back on our default.asbx page, we need to go and configure the script manager to include that script resource. So let's add a scripts section. And then in our script section, we can add a script reference, specify that the path is webrequest.js. And now the script manager will go fetch that code for us so that we can use it anywhere we want in our page. Another thing that we want to do, I'm just going to add a little delimiter. Actually, this content we don't want to be inside our form, right? Since we're going to be populating this in JavaScript, we don't actually want it to be inside our form. And I'm going to just add a horizontal rule. It's a delimiter there. Okay. Let's make this big enough to contain the variable that we're going to return. And now let's go ahead and fire up our application. And notice that the on-page load fired, get and post return these results. Now, obviously, because I'm running on localhost, that's pretty quick, but you could implement artificial network latency if you wanted to test that. And notice here is the JavaScript post parameter that we generated and included into the page body, so it got sent to the request. So we're picking this up in our ASBX page that we're requesting via our post method. And now I can explicitly do these, right? So by calling that same JavaScript method, same here. And notice picking up the post parameters. So obviously we're just using a statically defined JavaScript to generate that that post parameter, but we could pick that parameter up based on some HTML element in our page, so that we could be sending a dynamic parameter back to the ASPX page through the post request, and that's it. It's that easy to implement this version of the incremental page display pattern using get and post as opposed to Ajax-enabled script callable service methods. And hopefully the combination of the two will give you sort of interesting options in terms of how to build real aesthetically performant Ajax-enabled web applications.